All right, if you turn to the book of Leviticus, one of those books that we sometimes don't like to turn to just because of the maybe somewhat mundane, as we would look at it, repetition of things. You'll notice on your outline, or not your outline, your handout there, not really an outline so much as... But we have verses listed up there to talk, but the title is Five Sacrifices for Approaching God. Five Sacrifices for Approaching God. So we're going to go through these five sacrifices: the burnt offering, the peace offering, the meal offering, or the meat offering, grain offering. Can't remember the other two right off the top of my head, but we're going to be going through these as we consider these offerings that Israel was commanded to give. The commands were given to Israel on how that they should approach their God. And we're trying to make application for us, because obviously this can be kind of a mundane, routine type thing, just knowing facts and about what Israel did. But they have application for us in some senses. And we have to be careful. And anytime you're looking at the Old Testament, and Tom has made reference to this in the past, and probably will continue to as we look at Old Testament passages, there is, you know, two different thoughts in interpretation of Scripture. And maybe there's, I don't know if there's a middle ground here, but there certainly is, and there should be an emphasis on the fact that we take it literally and we interpret it in light of the context in which it was written, knowing that those people had an understanding of God's word, and he wanted that understanding to be given to them. Now, we obviously understand from the book of Hebrews that we can have a greater understanding of some of the things that took place in the Old Testament as in reference to what they typified. So typology is a study in which way you can interpret the Scripture, but if you strictly go with typology in the Old Testament, you can really get out on some limbs that maybe somebody can cut them off and you can like fall to the ground really quick in your interpretation, because you have to be careful about typology that you don't stretch that typology a little too much, if you understand what I'm talking about there. So there are certainly types in the Old Testament, and there's anti-types where the fulfillment of that happens in the New Testament. That certainly takes place, and Hebrews talks about that, and especially Hebrews, because they're written to the Jews, which was given, who were specifically given the Old Testament. So there is legitimately types in the Old Testament, but we just have to be careful in our interpretation of those types, that we're not stretching it beyond really what we should be in reference to that. So we're going to try to not focus on the types as much. I mean, we're going to talk about them here and there, but there are great men of God that, I mean, they've written some incredible, interesting books in reference to types. But I'm not sure how correct they are in every one of those. That's what I'm saying. I have a whole commentary by Andrew Bonar on Leviticus, and it's good. It's good devotional reading. There's no question. But I think sometimes there's, and Bonar was a great man. I mean, we quote from him, and he's one of those, he was contemporary with Robert Murray McShane, who died at an early age, but great, tremendous student of God's word. Certainly believers, no doubt. And I haven't read his whole commentary yet, so I don't know how far he takes typology. Maybe he's okay. Maybe he has a good balance. But we just have to be careful about that balance as we want to translate the Scripture as literally as we can and as in the context in which it was given, make interpretations as to what these people realized was God's message to them. All right. So we're going to talk about the burnt offering first. And we're going to use the same outline in each of our in each of our studies of these different offerings, so that we'll kind of like see similarities and differences between the different offerings and sacrifices that were commanded to be given. Now, you'll notice in Leviticus chapter 1, we have in chapter 1 the beginning of these burnt offerings. Let's go back first of all. Leviticus, all right? Leviticus. Where do we get that name Leviticus? Anybody know? All right, has to do with the Levites, all right? Because this was basically given to the priest, and the priest of the tribe of Levi, we've come up with this word Leviticus. This is not typically how, I don't believe this is typically how the Jews refer to this, third book of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. All right, they typically, I think, refer to it as the Hebrew word that is used in verse 1, the very first word, the Lord God called, the Lord God called. All right, so God is speaking. So whatever that Hebrew word is, and I don't know Hebrew that well. I saw it written, but I don't know that I could pronounce it even if I tried. But that's typically what they call this book. So when you think about Leviticus, sometimes we think about, you know, again, it can be somewhat a difficult book to work through, right? And to read through. And you get lost in the details that are being given. And you read one detail, and then later on it seems like you're reading the same detail again, but it's a little bit different. So you can get lost. But if you think about it, Leviticus, of all books in the Bible, this is God almost exclusively through Leviticus speaking to Israel. I mean, if we had a red letter edition when God spoke, like we do in the New Testament when Jesus spoke, Leviticus would just pretty much be all red. Because this is God speaking directly. Right? There's not a lot of commentation going on. This is just God telling them, do this, do this. This is the way you do it. This is the way you approach me. This is how you do it. When you do it. Who can do it? Who can't do it? It just continually. This is God speaking. So Leviticus is all of God's word is God's word. But if you want God specific speaking, Leviticus, you can't really top what God is doing here, because almost all of Leviticus is God speaking. All right, so that's what the Jews call it. They refer to that first Hebrew word there, and then we call it. We get the word Leviticus, my understanding, as I read, from those that translated the Old Testament into the Greek, the Septuagint, all right? Or the Septuagint, depending on how you pronounce that. But that's the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, and they came up with this title, again, because of the tribe of Levi, it was given to Levi, they came up with this word Leviticus, and we've incorporated it into our English translations and call it Leviticus. All right, so here is God speaking, and specifically, he's speaking to Moses, because Moses was going to be the one that was going to be the mouthpiece then to present these things to the children of Israel. And obviously Moses was the one that wrote the first five books of the New Testament, Old Testament, the Pentateuch. All right, so we have in Leviticus 1, we have the burnt offering. And then, like I said, sometimes if you're reading, you'll come up with this again. If you'll turn over to Leviticus 6 and you'll see at the top of your outline, we have Leviticus 6 mentioned or listed there. 6, 8 through 13, where he reiterates this burnt offering in Leviticus 6. And this first one is pretty much the same, but you'll see that Leviticus 6 is specifically given more to the priest than to the people. Okay, so there are going to be times as we look at, and we'll probably have in each one of our studies here, listings of verses in Leviticus 1, Leviticus 2, and so on for these burnt offerings. And then we'll have an additional set of verses listed. And sometimes they differ a little bit, because when the priests would come and offer these sacrifices specifically for themselves, all right, then there may be a little bit of difference between when the people would come and offer the sacrifice. And so probably the first section is focusing more on the people, the laity, you might say. And then the last, when he gives it again, and he actually refers to it the second time typically as the law of, all right, then that's specifically given to the priests. And there may be a few differences because of who is coming and bringing the offering. All right, so just make that comment as we begin. Okay, now when we think about the burnt offering, we're going to read down through Leviticus 1 here in a second to get us an idea, because we're going to have to fill this sheet out. We have to understand as we fill it out. But when you think about the burnt offering, now some of these offerings, as they're listed here in Leviticus, are really listed for the first time. But this was not one of them, because we have record in before Leviticus being written. We have the record of burnt offerings being given to God. Does anybody know in particular? I mean, there's not a lot of them, but there are a few, and they're significant. Tommy, remember one?
There was a large one at Mount Sinai.
All right. Mount Sinai, at the giving of the law, no doubt. There was burnt offerings being made. It's interesting, when I read that, the altar was a little bit different. It was actually made of the ground. It wasn't made of what this altar, this burnt offering altar, was made of. Okay? So it was made a little bit differently, but there was certainly that going on in a great number. All right? All right. So Abel's offering. I don't have that one listed. Not sure if that was would be seen as a burnt offering or not. Okay? All right, Abraham and Isaac. See, they're not a lot of them, but they're significant ones, okay? Abraham offering Isaac. That was given as a burnt offering. He was to be given as a burnt offering. God commanded him to do that, all right? All right, when Noah came off the ark. You guys are good. I mean, everybody's coming up with you. Good job. I think that's, well, there's a couple other ones. Anybody else have any others that we might think of? Okay, when the children of Israel were moving, they were doing that. I'm not sure about Abraham. That's very possible. I don't remember that. Well, Abraham wasn't coming out of Egypt. Moses did.
I thought Abraham went down to Egypt.
There was a time that he did.
And then he came back to Ai or wherever it was, and he built an altar and he sacrificed something on that altar. But there's
right, and we're and that may have been after the giving of the Leviticus portion. We're trying to go back to before. There was one other time, maybe two. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, in Exodus 18, verse 12, he offered a burnt offering. And then I guess you could say, similar time when they were offering burnt offerings in Sinai, they actually began to offer burnt offerings to false gods too. As Moses delayed from coming down off of Mount Sinai, they were offering burnt offerings to those false gods that they had created. All right, so in other words, what we're saying is this is not the very first time that they've heard this concept of a burnt offering. Okay, now we don't have any instructions prior to this in regards to the burnt offerings. I mean, how did Noah know what to do in offering those burnt offerings? Well, we know that he only offered the clean animals. Matter of fact, God made provision for that because he said, you know, take two of every animal, but of the clean animals, take seven. So God was already making provision for that possibility for him to be able to offer those clean animals as a burnt offering to God. So there must have been some understanding, though specific instructions were not necessarily given to these in regards to these burnt offerings that I'm aware of. Maybe you know, or maybe you can remember something that I can't at this point. The real instructions come here in Leviticus concerning these burnt offerings. But when we get to this point, we have to keep that in mind as we interpret what's happening here in Leviticus and their understanding of what God is saying to them. We have to keep in mind that they already had a prior knowledge of Abraham and Isaac and what took place there on Mount Moriah, right? They already had an understanding of Noah and what he did and offering those clean animals as a sacrifice. So there are some things that certainly will come into play when we're trying to make some application here to both the Old Testament believers and the New Testament believers, all right? So we'll keep that in mind. All right, now as we think about the burnt offerings, they were to be offered on this altar that was to be made. It was specific instructions on how to make this altar. It was made out of acacia wood. As we read this, we're gonna come up and we're gonna see this altar and how it was to be made. I'm not sure it's right here that he gives all the instructions on this particular altar, but we know it was 5 cubits by 5 cubits by 3 cubits. So it's roughly 8 feet by 8 feet by 4.5 feet, roughly. All right. So it's square and then almost as half as tall as it is wide and long. And where was it in relationship to this, the tabernacle and the tent of meeting, as it's called here? Do you remember? Where is it in relation? All right. See, outer court, and it's right at the door, all right? It's right there. Really, the first thing that you see as you begin to come in to approach God. I mean, that's what they're doing when they're coming in here. They're coming in here to approach God. Okay, now, when did they offer the sacrifices? And there's a lot of answers to that. Because there were morning and evening sacrifices on this burnt offerings. There were offerings, additional burnt offerings offered on the Sabbath day. Also at the beginning of each month, the celebration of the Passover, along with new grain offerings at the feast weeks. There were the Feast of the Trumpets. There were extra of these burnt offerings being sacrificed. There was the celebration of the new moon. There was burnt offerings. There was, typically they were offered in conjunction with other offerings, with a guilt offering, with a sin offering, with a free will offering. There were other occasions that they were offered when cleansing was necessary. So there was burnt offerings in regards to a woman's uncleanness as a result of childbearing, and there was the offerings of a leper. If a Nazirite came in contact with a dead body and he wanted to be purified, he had to offer a burnt offering. So there were several different other times, we don't read them all here, but that these burnt offerings were necessary, right? And most of them had to do with cleansing of defilement, right? And we understand the purpose behind that, because if you're going to approach God, the defilement has to be cleansed away. Specific defilement, and really, as we look at this burnt offering, is given not so much always specific sins being given an offering for, but for the general sinfulness of these people. All right? This is the reason why there was constant burnt offering. It was their sinfulness. It wasn't, again, specific sins necessarily or all the time. It was their sinfulness as a whole that had to be atoned for. All right, so let's go to our sheet here to fill out what we have here. And you can write whatever in these blanks. I've given you lots of blanks to write in for some of these. So what was the payment, the provision? Well, we're going to have to go down through Leviticus chapter 1 to understand that. Maybe you already know. Before we even read some through, what was to be offered in this burnt offering? What could be offered? What was allowed to be offered?
It had to be a male.
All right, had to be a male. All right, had to be a bull, and he had to be perfect or high quality, okay? All right, what else could it be? All right, so that's the assumption from what. So what were the other possibles if you couldn't afford a bull?
Well, there was either a sheep or a goat.
All right, a sheep or a goat, but again, they had to be what? High quality and without blemish. They had to be a male, both of them. All right, a pigeon or a dove. And in that case, there wasn't any male or female type thing given. Probably hard to tell the difference between some of them you can, but hard to tell the difference there. I don't know. But it was a little bit different. And it probably had to do with what you could afford and what you were able to afford. All right, so those specific things, that was what was to be offered. The bull, and actually we got down in here a little bit further into the prohibitions part, but the bull from the cattle, sheep or a goat from the herds of those herds, shepherds, and then also a pigeon or a dove was able to be given also as a burnt offering. All right, so then how? Goat, yeah, sheep or goat. All right, how then was it to be offered? Well, how about this process, the procedure? Well, let's read Leviticus, and we'll probably understand this a little bit better. And the Lord God called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak thus unto the children of Israel. Speak unto the children of Israel. Where did I get the thus? I don't know. And say unto them, If any man of you bringing an offering unto the Lord shall bring, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. And if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering, and as he cut it into his pieces, and the sons of Aaron and the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire, and the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and intestines and that type of thing, and his legs shall he wash with water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made of fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord, made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. He shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar. And he shall cut it into his pieces, and his head and his fat. And the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that was on the fire, which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water. And the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering of the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring it his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off its head and burn it on the altar. and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the sides of the altar, and he shall pluck away his crop with the feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes, and he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. All right, so again, a lot of redundancy there, a lot of repetition going on. But this is how they were to do it, all right? So you can include whatever you want in that process or procedure, but the idea there is that they had a specific procedure that they had to go through. And sometimes we don't get the idea that it was the responsibility of the people coming to make these sacrifices and to do anything. But here, priests, go ahead and take it and do it. Now, in this burnt offering, they were involved in the process of what was going on with the offering, with the sacrifice. Tom?
I don't know if it's significant,
but you know, with the bull and the ram, the offering, the actual sacrifice done by the person making the offering, not the priest. I've never noticed that. Right, that's what I'm saying. He's involved in cutting it up himself. It's his. It's just for him. Yeah, and the priests were the ones involved with throwing the blood against the sides of the altar and that type of thing, except when the fowl. It's a little bit different with the fowl because, I mean, how many people can get involved with this little bird, right? But yeah, it was real work, right? This is a lot of work going on. Believe me, we've killed a few cows, and it's not an easy task. And we've got like modern equipment to help us to make it easier. But they obviously were, no doubt, professionals at it, because they were doing it more often than we probably could ever think. But this was something, again, constantly going on, but it was an involvement with the worshiper. The person who was intending to come and approach God, he was the offerer. He was the one actually doing a lot of the work. And it wasn't just the priests that were doing that work. All right, so then in this regard, in this particular burnt offering, the portions, how much goes to God, how much goes to the priest, and then to the worshiper. How much went to God? What? All of it. That's what it says here in Leviticus 1, all of it. There's a little bit. How much went to the priest then? According to this passage that we read, didn't sound like anything went to the priest. But if you look over to Leviticus, I believe, chapter 7, there is, when a burnt offering is given, Leviticus 7:8, if you want to write that down, the hide or the skin, all right, is going to go to the priest. That's the only thing that he gets out of this burnt offering, the hide or the skin. Right now, you could probably only deal with so many hides and so many skins anyway, but He was allowed to have the hide or the skin, the one that was making this sacrifice. The worshiper in this case, nothing. He got nothing. Everything was given. And most of it was, again, given to God, except the hide or the skin. All right, so what then was the purpose? The purpose. Why is it to be offered? Did you pick up on that as we read? We've talked about it already, but just so you can fill it in on your sheet if you want. It was an atonement that he was making for his sin. An atonement, verse 4, talked about that. And it's interesting how he would put his head upon, he would put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. All right? Probably picturing the transferring of his guilt and sin to this victim, to this sacrifice. All right, the transfer of that. That's why you put your hand on his head in order for that to be pictured, the transfer. Again, not for a specific sin necessarily, but because of his sinful conditions. Well, we're out of time, and so I better stop there. We'll pick this up, and then we'll have a couple more. Maybe we can go a little faster through them. We may not take one every week. We may try to get two in a week, but... We're going to make some application. We didn't make a lot of application. We had a little bit here and there. But there's going to be some application. And maybe you can think about this. All right? This is your homework. I love homework. So this is your homework. All right? Those of you that like homework. Most of you don't. But look at some pictures or some principles. Study this passage yourself. How much more are you going to get out of it than just what you hear me say? All right? If you would take the time this week to dig into this a little bit. I'm not saying spend hours and months in 1 week, but just spend some time looking at this, coming up with some principles, some pictures, and some maybe some New Testament passages that that talk about the burnt offering. All right, let's look to the Lord. Thank you, Father, again for your word. Thank you for giving it clearly to the children of Israel and then subsequently to us that we might have what you require. We thank you, most of all, as we already prayed for the Lord Jesus, who certainly is the fulfillment of this of a burnt offering. And we thank you for his sacrifice made on our behalf. And as we approach, even this morning, a time of worship, we certainly come on the basis of the fact that we've been cleansed from our sin. And Lord, if that's not the case, I pray that we take the time to do that, even this morning, before we would enter into a worship service honoring you. Lord, we don't want to be hypocritical here. We want to be clean and cleansed and able to come to you so that our worship would be acceptable to you. And we ask for any that might come into our service, never having trusted you as Savior, may they understand the gospel as it's given and maybe in parts or as the whole is explained. We pray that they would come to a saving knowledge of your Son. And again, we pray for these that even today, or who, especially Joe's father, as he is with him even right now, we'd ask that you would use him to bring to his father's mind his relationship with you. We ask these things in your name. Amen.